As Jesus walked on Palestinian soil more than 2,000 years ago, he made some rather outrageous statements about himself. We keep coming back to this, don't we? Statements which, if not true, show him to be a complete nutter. On the other hand, if these statements are actually true, then they are nothing short of spectacular in their significance for us as his people. For example, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You will only find true satisfaction when I am the foundational nourishment of your life." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." There will be times when you won't know the way ahead, when it will feel as though you're stumbling around in the darkness. Well, that's okay if you're walking with Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the gate and I am the good shepherd." If Jesus is the gate, no one gets past Jesus, and you are safe and secure in him. If Jesus is the good shepherd, then he can be relied upon to bring you into good pastures and to keep you safe. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Well, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we too can be sure that this life is not all there is. There is hope for those who put their trust in Jesus. Jesus also said, "I am the true vine." And this is the statement that I want us to look at together today. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone here who doesn't want a fulfilling life? It seems to me that pretty much everyone wants to find both fulfillment and purpose in life. Another question. Is there anyone here today who wouldn't like to have a fruitful life? I would say that being fruitful just seems to be written into our DNA. There appears to be a primal urge within us to be fruitful. We all, to varying degrees, I believe, long to be fruitful. We kind of long for our existence to maybe somehow produce something of worth. I want to speak to you with you today about the secret to a fulfilling and a fruitful life as Jesus saw it. So let's turn in God's word to John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." I want you to notice the role of the Father and of the Son in this. Jesus said, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." God the Father is passionately concerned about the health and the fruitfulness of the vine. He's passionate about fruit bearing. He wants the vine to be fruitful, and he'll do whatever is necessary to make the vine as fruitful as possible. The Father is the gardener. The vineyard is his. He is in charge. Who are we? Well, we're the branches, that's all. Yet often we want to be in charge. We arrogantly want to set the agenda, and we want to dictate the shape of our life. Do you see the problem? We want to be part of the vine. We want the benefits of being grafted into Jesus. We want the benefits of forgiveness and eternal life. But then we arrogantly want to dictate the course of our life. The reality is God is in charge and he can do what he pleases in the vineyard. It's his vineyard. Sadly, there are times when the bulk of my prayer life is spent trying to tell God what to do in his vineyard, how best to trim and shape the vine, how best to deal with the weeds, how best to bring out the fruit, how best to bring out the potential of each branch. Foolishly, I often forget that this really is the Father's vineyard and he really does know best, and well, he has the right to do whatever he wants to. Now, maybe that sounds a little tyrannical. In saying that, we need to remember that the Father is so much more than just the one in charge. He's the one who tenderly cares for his vineyard. And he's the God of love and compassion whose mercies never, ever fail. When we're in pain, when there doesn't appear to be a light at the end of the tunnel, when the days turn to weeks and the weeks to months, when the pandemic just seems to be getting worse and worse, and God appears to be silent, when we wonder if he's even there, God comes to us with great affection and love. This gardener, our Heavenly Father, we need to remember this, he can take any branch, regardless of how wounded, broken, split, and cracked it is, and he can heal that branch. He can graft it back into the vine. Now, it may not be a quick fix. It probably won't happen overnight, and it may not happen without more pain and more discomfort. It may take a while, but the Father, the gardener, well, he has grace enough to forgive all of our disappointing failures. And he's strong enough to turn any crisis around for our good. This is our Father's vineyard, and thank God he is in charge. The Father cares for you deeply, and he will ensure that you are fruitful, providing all that you need for growth and maturity. That makes me want to just jump for joy. I just want to praise his name when I think about that kind of God. This is our God, the gardener who is passionate about the fruitfulness of your life. So that's the first point I want you to see in this passage. God is the gardener. The whole universe is his vineyard, and he is passionate about the fruitfulness of the vine. Let's focus on the vine for a moment. The New Testament gives us some pretty powerful images. For instance, the Apostle Paul paints a picture of the church as being the body of Christ. Each of us make up the body of Christ here on earth. Jesus is the head, and we all have a very specific role to play as part of his body. Now, the trap is to think of the vine in the same way. The vine, which Jesus speaks of, is not the church. Being part of the church, being actively involved in ministry and service, may equate to being part of the body, but it doesn't equate to being part of the vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. Remain in me, and I will remain in you." The church is not the vine. Jesus is the vine. It's a similar kind of illustration, but it's not the same. We need to think clearly about this to really understand what Jesus is saying to us. You know, few plants come in as many fascinating shapes as grapevines. Their trunks twist up from the ground in weird and wonderful forms. 2 feet or so above the ground, the trunk separates into these long, craggy arms that reach up toward the wires of the trellis. I don't know if you've ever really looked at a grapevine. When we purchased our house in Gorrican in 2006, it came with a mature grapevine on the side of this shed out the back. I had a close look at that grapevine. The same rough, flaky bark that starts just above the ground continues up the gnarled, twisted trunk to where it separates into these craggy arms and onto where the slender, more flexible canes emerge. The thing is, there really is no definite line that says the vine ends here and the branch begins there. That's why this is such a perfect illustration of the relationship the Lord Jesus desires with his followers. He wants you and I to identify so closely with him that others cannot tell where he ends and you begin. It really is a perfect illustration. No branch has any life in itself. You cut it off and it will soon shrivel and die. Only the vine has life. You think about it for a moment. What does the Bible say about Jesus? It says that he is the author of life. Life itself came from the Son. Of course he is the vine. He's the author of life. A branch, that's you and me, must draw its life from the vine, from Jesus. There's no real life in us outside of Jesus. If we're going to find true life at all, we must be grafted into the true vine, which is Jesus. You know, Jesus made it clear right at the start of this parable that he's not just a vine. He is the vine. And he describes what it means to be in him by saying these words. In verse 15, he says, "I have called you friends." Just for a moment, take all of the absolute best things that you've ever experienced about friends, about your close mates, and you'll begin to understand the wonder of Jesus' invitation to you. Get this, the author of life wants to be your best friend. He wants to be the best mate you've ever had. He wants to share every moment of your life. He wants to walk with you through thick and thin, the good times and the bad. He wants to just hang out and watch Netflix with you when you're feeling tired and overworked. He doesn't mind if you've got the trackies and the Uggs on. In saying that, I'm not wanting to in any way take away from the majesty of our King Jesus. I'm just looking for a contemporary image of the closeness of friendship which Christ offers us. We can be comfortable in his presence, in our jammies. He's that kind of friend. He wants to listen to your biggest heartaches, and he wants to counsel you with the absolute best advice available. Do you remember right at the start I asked if you wanted a fulfilling and a fruitful life? All of this, the fullness, the fulfillment, the fruitfulness, is only found in friendship with Jesus. This is so important. I really want you to get this. Life in God's vineyard is about friendship with Jesus. It's not about programs. It's not even about your ministry or my ministry. It's not about how much you know or how gifted you are. We as Western evangelicals, right, we love to know about things. We love to know about being friends with Jesus. But it's not the same as actually being friends with Jesus. I guess it's a bit like knowing all about being married. You can read books on marriage. You can go to seminars and discuss marriage for hours on end. But until you actually live it, you really know diddly squat about marriage. Life in God's vineyard is about friendship with Jesus. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. Relationship, real relationship with the author of life. He is the true vine. We are the branches drawing our nourishment from him, and he is our true friend. There's no real life without him. Let's think a little more about the branches. You and I are the branches. That's what Jesus said, branches on the vine. But we didn't just grow there on the vine. Do you realize that? You were especially chosen and then grafted into the vine. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." That's from John 15. "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." You see, your initial state was not as part of the vine. You were known by God, you were chosen by God, and carefully grafted in by God. A cut was made on the vine, and carefully you were placed into the vine so that the life of Christ might flow through your life. Is that not a wonderful image? Is that not a glorious image? You were chosen. It's that simple. I don't know about you, but for me, that changes everything. Disciples of Jesus don't become followers by their own determination or maybe because of chance. You didn't become part of the vine because you just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Your connection to Jesus occurred because the true vine, Jesus, chose you to be grafted into him. That is profound. It really is. You were chosen to be grafted into the source of life itself. Chosen. It's a humbling word, but it's also a comforting word. And we also need to understand that his choosing of you does not mean that someone else is then excluded. On the vine, there is room enough for everyone. In Matthew 18, verse 14, Jesus says, "Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." No matter how unloved you felt in the past, no matter how bruised and broken and cut up you may feel, no matter how lost you feel in your sin, God knew all of that when he chose you, and he wants you anyway. That is the secret to hope in your life, if you don't already know it. Regardless of whatever you've done, he wants you grafted in and drawing true life from him. When you or I do some pruning in the garden, the branches have no say in the matter, do they? They're completely passive, completely at the mercy of the gardener. Not so in the heavenly vineyard, and not so with the true vine. Get this, the branches have a choice. In the Father's vineyard, the branches have a will of their own. This is another key point from this passage. Once chosen, each branch must choose whether to be part of the vine or not. Now, Jesus explains this to us by the repeated use of a little two-letter word, if. I want you to have a careful look at verse 5 and following. If you've got your Bible open there, have a look at these verses. Verse 5 says, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 6, "If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Verse 10, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." And then verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." If you want to be part of the vineyard, you've got to be participating in the life of the vine. Now, often people get confused at this point. The choice is not whether you want to find fulfillment in God's life. The choice is not whether or not you want to be fruitful. We don't make those choices. Those things just happen when we're part of the vine. This is the choice. This is the if. The choice is, will you accept his offer of friendship by remaining in him? That's your only choice, yes or no. The rest is a result of that choice. If you choose yes, there's an amazing array of opportunities for each of us. At the beginning, I said that I wanted to speak with you about the secret to a fulfilling and a fruitful life. This is the secret: friendship with Jesus. It's that simple. If you choose no, there is death. Outside of being connected or grafted into the very source of life, I mean, what is there? Nothing. Literally, no thing. Jesus said that disconnected from him, the branch dries up and is thrown away, because that is reality. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we are nothing. I wish that the spiritual vineyard was as clearly seen as the earthly one that Jesus uses as an example. In the physical vineyard, the moment a branch is removed, it starts to wither. Its death is clearly seen. I've seen this in my own backyard. Sadly, in the spiritual vineyard, it's not as easy to see. Neglecting that vital friendship with Jesus is the most dangerous thing you can do. Yet it happens so subtly and almost imperceptibly. We so easily become distracted and drawn away by the enticements, the opportunities, the challenges of the world. And do you know what? If this happens, we may still be actively involved in religious activities, still coming to church, still staying busy in ministry, still staying religious, but having no real friendship with Jesus. The funny thing is that his blessing still appears to be accompanying us as we increasingly try to get by in our own strength. unaware of the fact that without him we are lilting and fading. Then one day we wake up and we realise that life has no meaning, no fulfilment, and if we're honest with ourselves, we are fruitless. Apart from Christ, your life will have no real joy. Apart from Christ, your life will have no lasting fruit. But with him, I guarantee you will find true life, full and abundant. If what? If we choose friendship with Jesus over everything else. That's all I want to say today from God's word. Please make friendship with the Lord Jesus the absolute highest priority in your life. Nothing else comes close, and everything else will fall into place when you are grafted into the true vine, into Jesus. Amen.